Welcome to the Shift Spotlight Podcast. I'm Winter, your host and VP of Strategy at GCE Strategic Consulting. GCE are business transformational experts that provide fractional and executive leadership services that help business owners and CEOs shift from working in the business to working on the business. Our podcast was created to celebrate CEOs, visionaries, and the EOS community, all while promoting your business to our remarkable and influential network. We are excited to celebrate your stories of change, challenge, success, and shifts you've made happen along the way. The Shift Spotlight is always looking for podcast guests. Go to shiftspotlight.com to apply today. We'd love to have you. Hey, everybody. It's Winter with the Shift Spotlight. And today I'm here with Kieran James. He is the chairman and CEO of Stryde. That's S-T-R-Y-D-E. And can be found at stryde.co.uk. So welcome to the show, Kieran.
Thanks very much, Winter. I'm quite excited to be here and learn a little bit more about what you guys are doing and hopefully share some stuff. I've got plenty of learning mistakes I've made. So
awesome. Well, we've all made mistakes, so that's good. But before we dive into your mistakes and all of the things you've done wrong, let's start out with, if you could wake up tomorrow with any superpower, business aside, what would you pick and how would you use it?
So I think I would go for a superpower that would allow me to live in multiple dimensions. And the reason for that is I feel like we've only got one life and there's a million different choices and ways you could live that life. And I'd like to do all of them and I can't do all of them. So in EOS terms, as a visionary, I've got too many ideas and I'd love to be able to play all of them out and see what happens. So the ability to be able to play them all out and see how they all work would be an amazing superpower.
That's a pretty good one. That's a pretty good one. I like that. Everybody's got some good answers lately here, but why don't you tell us at a high level what it is that you do?
Sure. So Stryde is my main business. Stryde is we do part-time CFO and full back office finance function. So that's everything your CFO does, everything your accountant or CPA does, and also we sit in the finance seat.
Mm-hmm. So then what motivated you to start this type of business?
So I'm not an accountant by background. So I actually I'll give you the long story as quick as I can. So the long story is that I went to university, did sports science, and my then girlfriend, now wife, I lived in about 8 hours away from her. And she said, I'm going home. Would you like to come? And I had a choice to make. Do I go one way or do we basically break the relationship? So I went back to her parents' house. She assured me that her parents knew I was going to stay there for about 6 months, have a chance to get a good job, all that kind of stuff. And then after a week, I was walking past the front room and her mum said, hey, so Kieran, when are you leaving? And I had this moment of, oh, wow, I need to get a job very quickly. They're not expecting me here very long. And so the first thing I could find was door-to-door sales. So I used to sell cavity wall and loft insulation. And in England in 2010, there was about a 3 month period of major snow. And it just hit that period. So I was in a suit and tie in nice shoes running around in the snow. And I think I just got to a point where I thought, this isn't going to work. So that was the first one. Very quickly moved into some telesales at a company called Sage, which is an accounting software. That moved me on into a role which in training, which meant I was headhunted by a tech startup. So fast forward that, I basically got to a point where I love developing people. I'd replaced myself in that business, in the training department. And I said to the MD when the commercial director left, hey, I can do his job and this guy can do my job. Can we just sort of step up? And he said, this guy can do your job. Excellent. But no, you haven't got the experience to do that one. So I basically put myself out of a job. So I was in a bit of a situation where I had a job because you can't get rid of people in the UK very easily like that. But I didn't really have a role in the business that was sort of pragmatic to the bottom line, as it were. So the MD in that business introduced me to an investor who wanted to start a business and said, do you want to be my MD in that business there? If I do it wrong, it didn't matter. So I kind of got thrown in after just trying to help somebody out in my business, you know, somebody that was reporting to me, tried to help them out. And it led me to being connected with a very wealthy investor who was my coach, basically, from that point forward. And that started Stride.
Yeah. And so you are on a Stride now, too. So let me, are your clients primarily based in the UK? Where do you work with companies?
Yeah, at the moment, we're primarily in the UK. We're exploring options to go outside of that, particularly with our connection with the US. But at the moment, yeah, purely UK clients. We do work with businesses where their internal finance team are in another country, but we are UK CFOs. So gotcha. We use that knowledge.
Okay. I like that. That's a good tagline, UK CFOs. Okay, so we know running a business is hard, and we are going to talk about those mistakes, but why don't you tell us something that you did right?
Something I did right. Honestly, implemented EOS. I know I have to kind of say that, but EOS for us was really, really valuable. So in 2020, so we implemented it, was it 4 years ago now, just after COVID. In 2021, I kind of released truly sat in the visionary seat, released a lot of the other stuff that I needed to. And in 2023, I was fortunate enough to get into the Great British squad for triathlon.
Yeah.
So I represent my country in age group. And that was fantastic because, you know, it was something that I kind of, it's going back to my childhood. There's quite a lot of things around, you know, as a child wanting to play professional football, represent my country. But there's a lot of identity around that, which is why that was a big deal. Then early 2024, what happened was I got hit by a car when I was out cycling. So I was going around a roundabout and a car decided not to stop and just hit me, which normally is a bad thing, obviously. And it did seriously affect my training in that.
Yeah.
But what happened was because business was set up on EOS, I was able just to let my business run without me in the day to day, which is fantastic. I could become almost like a full-time athlete, compete, and my team could run the business. And I didn't embarrass myself at the European Championships that year. So it was a once in a lifetime type opportunity. And I was okay. I was able to stick somewhere within the pack because I've had the chance to put the time in because of EOS. So I think that's on a personal level, that's really good. On a professional level, EOS also, we started our life as a typical accountant. And that meant our average order value in UK money was about £180 per month per client. And now we work around £2,500 a month and upwards. And that's about over a 4 year span, we've kind of evolved the business from an accountant who overservices too much and tries to play CFO into just businesses that are, we're just CFO and we do this approach. So I think the best thing I did was put structure and realize where I was weak. Another thing I did quite early as well, similar to that, was about 3 or 4 years into the business, I hired somebody, even though we couldn't afford it, but somebody who wasn't as like sort of outward looking as me, somebody who had far more experience than I did. In now terms, I know that was an integrator. In those terms, I realized it was just somebody who could do things better than me and had a bit of experience to bring to the game. And it just tidied up a lot of the things we did in the business. So those two were really two really good things I did.
I mean, that's great. How did you learn about EOS?
An EOS implementer. So during COVID, I wanted to do something for my customers. So we did a people day, which was very much about everything to do with people, from the legislation to how to grow people, to how to inspire them, all that kind of stuff. And I'd met an EOS implementer who said they could come and do a 20-minute talk about a section of the wheel, the six parts of EOS. And it just resonated, really resonated with me. Something that was practical and not just sort of business jargon.
Yeah.
Is quite, you know, I've read a lot and there's a lot of business jargon out there, isn't there? There's a lot of theories and, you know, you can see in hindsight how they are valuable, but in the moment they're not always as practical. And I just needed a way to be a better leader myself and put some structure and organization around that. I quite like John Maxwell as well. Spend a lot of time listening to him, and that helps to some degree, but it's still very much sort of surface level ideas and principles rather than do this, implement this tool, which I think I felt like I needed that time.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Hi, I am Ken Paskins, the CEO of GCE Strategic Consulting. After decades of helping companies from pre-revenue startups to Fortune 50 giants, I wanted to create something that every leader could use right now. That's why we built the CEO Navigator. It is a custom GPT that helps you uncover real root causes of business challenges, build a focused 90-day plan, and even expose blind spots across your business that you don't yet see coming. This is not just artificial intelligence. It's built upon decades of proven operator experience, distilled in a tool that you can start using today. To explore further, please go to gcestrategicconsulting.com/CEO-navigator-GPT and see for yourself how it can help you lead with clarity and confidence.
So what has your EOS journey been like? So you learn about this product, you start running it through. There's always bumps and bruises when you're rolling something out like this. You get a lot of resistance from the team. What has your journey been like?
So for context, when we implemented the US, we were a team of 10, which is like the minimum standard you could be to implement it, which meant we had 3 people in the leadership team. We already had a leadership structure in place, but it was very much flat, 3 of us just chatting. When we implemented the EOS or began to talk about this, the first question came up, who was the visionary, which was pretty straightforward. I think everyone agreed that was me. And when we said about who was the integrator, it was obvious, but not everyone wanted it to be obvious. And perhaps, I think between the other two leaders, they both thought they should be the person who had that position.
Yeah.
So effectively the first thing that happened when we implemented or chose to implement EOS was one of those leaders left the business. So it was a great start to the process. I think we've self-implemented EOS. I would say that probably cost us £140,000 in the time delay in enacting the stuff that we've seen other people enact within 2 years that took us 3 or 4 years to do. So it's quite interesting being able to see the step change in our business. We kind of held for 2 years. Well, actually, first it was 2.5 years we held, and the business didn't really change. In fact, we perhaps went back a little bit as we kind of tidied up and removed some non-simplicity from the business. And then now we're on this upward trajectory. We realized we're a year delayed on where we could have been if we just paid somebody to implement. I thought I was being smart, going, oh, my integrator can implement it because they've got loads of time, but it just pulled us away probably from what we should have been doing, and effective parts of the business probably shouldn't have.
It's a common thing. It's a common issue, right? Where people think, oh, I can just do this and do it better. And it does set things back. So tell us about some of the things that are impacting your particular company or your industry right now. It can be positive or negative.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I can talk about loads of stuff. I talk about EOS and it sounds like I'm a bit of an advocate. In the UK, EOS isn't very big or isn't well known.
It's not. You're one of the few that run on it. Yeah.
Yeah. So we set out about a year ago to work with EOS businesses, despite the fact the market wasn't very big. And we made a plan to both make or create the wave of EOS in the UK, but also to ride that wave as well. So we created a community in the UK of people that run on EOS just to share stories, a bit like what we're doing today, share stories, get to know each other, using EOS terms like GWC, like person right seats, which in general business will be that people, not everyone understands those terms. But when you can talk in conversation in a community that understands one's like a particular type of terminology and language, it helps speed the conversation up and the way you get to solving problems. So that's something we've created. So we now know about 1,200 in the UK that are running on US, 1,200 businesses. So it's growing. We are helping drive that wave. It's not just us. EOS themselves, obviously, EOS Worldwide are doing a fantastic job as well, doubling number of implementers. So for us, that's big. And the reason I think it's important is not ignoring EOS itself, but the idea that when you're going through economic challenges, all the kind of the lucky bits, lucky parts of business tend to get, in a growth phase, you can be lucky as part of that process. And as soon as things start to get more difficult, all that luck has to be removed. It becomes, you have to process what is good and be really good at the good stuff. And I think one thing that I think why EOS, I do believe is quite an important thing is I think that as economically, the world is struggling more. And in the UK, it's not bad, but it's kind of flat. It's great to have a system in place that people can go, this is what's going to help us trim the waste within that business and make sure that we are delivering just in the place we need to deliver. So that's, so practically, that's important. And around that kind of thing, I think there's a lot of people that are considering or don't believe there's a lot of opportunity. But I do think that what we're doing in the CFO, part-time CFO space is a growing market across the globe, I believe. And that's because if you think about how AI is affecting stuff at the moment, what everyone's doing is they're not employing as many people because they're realizing actually, we went through this recently. We were going to go out for a CFO. We decided not to hire a CFO. Instead, we decided to look at, what was if we invested 20, 30, 40,000 pounds in technology? Could that speed up the rest of the team? I think that's the kind of decision people are making, not to not hire at all, but to move through that process. So I think one of the trends that we're seeing is that means that it's pushing the type of person you need in any seat in the business. They don't need to be as thorough in their job. So instead of in the past, where we might have worked with businesses 1 million to 5 million, we're now working 1 to 20 million because they don't need all that time. It might go up even further. I'm sure across professional services as a whole, I'm making a guess here, but I assume that's probably a similar thing that people are seeing, is that people can deal with bigger businesses now because they'll need just a bit of your time and not a full-time person in that role. Because AI is going to do the other stuff around it.
Right, right. Yep. And so where do you see you in your company investing resources over the next year? Where are you putting your time and energy and effort?
We're in a bit of a growth phase, probably the most difficult part times in our business it's going to be, because we have three leaders at the moment, all who have been our CFO lead and have moved into more internal roles. We have one CFO lead at the moment who's our sort of real top CFO lead. And our next hire is going to be another top CFO lead. And for us, it's a strategic play to decide this person probably isn't going to be able to fulfill leadership roles in our business, but still has to deliver at an extremely high level. And that's a bit of a change in the type of person we're looking for, which means there's a bit of risk to that, of getting the right person, making sure they're really, really high quality. So I think for me, that's the first thing. And after that, it's how do we scale this? So we're really in what we hope to be, we've grown about 20% year on year recently, but the expectation is that we need to grow by at least 50% to 100% a year for the next 3 to 5 years. That's the goal. So quite rapid growth plans. And underpinning that will be how well we can hire. It's not actually to do with AI. It's not actually to do with how efficient we are. It's how good are the people we hire. It still hasn't changed that.
Yeah, I agree. All right, couple questions here before we wrap up. What is the best piece of advice that you've received as a leader?
I mean,
I can see you going back to all your John Maxwell books right now.
I mean, you know, it's funny. It's because I think I've probably got two pieces. One is a John Maxwell piece, actually. And the other is actually something I've learned rather than been told. So the John Maxwell piece, I guess, is lead with love. Mm-hmm. And it sounds really airy-fairy, but actually it's one of the most pragmatic and challenging ways to lead. Because actually, if you lead with love, what you do is when there's a difficult conversation to have, you don't wait around on that conversation.
Yeah.
And I'm always not the best at doing that. Some, you know, in my 10 years now, there's been times where I've held conversations back because it sounds like a difficult conversation. So I think lead with love means you approach things head on, straight away. And it's a constant challenge to myself to try and be that person who's leading with love. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is, business is an experiment. And that's something that when in my early time in business, I really struggled with the idea. I thought you were either good or bad. But what I realized was it's all just an experiment, and you're just trying new things and testing hypotheses to figure out, you know, what's the right way of doing this. I started my business with having none of the variables of business in place. I didn't know my customers. I didn't know what I was going to sell. I didn't know any of it. And we slowly honed in one at a time until we get to where we are now, where things are kind of aligned. We know who we are, who we serve, but that's taken a while. And I think it's just any business leader out there trusting that you experiment, test, and track the results of that, and then learn from them.
Nice. And final question, If somebody listening wanted to take the next step with you or learn more about what you do or have a conversation with you, what should they do?
I think there's two ways. They can either go on our website, which you mentioned at the beginning, which is Stryde, STRYDE.co.uk, and just reach out to us through there. Or if you want to connect with me on LinkedIn, it's Kieran James, and you can book a meeting with me through that or just have a chat. Let's connect. I love to connect with people from EOS or from the general business community. So if you want to chat, let's have a conversation.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Wayne. Lovely to talk.
Thank you for listening to the Shift Spotlight podcast. If you are a business owner, CEO, founder, visionary, or of the EOS community seeking recognition for your exceptional expertise while gaining exposure through our remarkable network, we are actively searching for podcast guests who can bring their inspiring stories to light, and we'd love to showcase your journey. Please visit shiftspotlight.com to apply today. And if you are a listener, I'd love to give a shout out to your business to our whole audience for free. All you have to do is leave a review on Apple Podcasts or follow our newsletter on LinkedIn by searching GCE Strategic Consulting. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me and my team. We believe that every person has a message that can positively impact the world. We love our community who listens and shares our program, so hit subscribe to be inspired and motivated. I promise to bring positivity and inspiration to you and your growing business. We will see you next time.